Happy Easter. Easter. When we hear that first reading, that's what we think of, right? That first reading is Peter proclaiming after the ascension of the Lord the truth that they had understood about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the complete story Peter tells in one short reading of Jesus' ministry, his death, his passion and death, and his resurrection, and how he lived with them before he ascended. Now, that's what we typically think about when we think about Easter, right? It's kind of that complete story. It's what we hear Peter preaching in Jerusalem after the ascension. But that gospel today is very different, isn't it? That gospel today is one in which the main character is really the empty tomb. We have Mary Magdalene and Peter and the beloved disciple coming to the empty tomb, trying to make sense of what is happening because the tomb is empty. Has somebody taken Jesus? Why are the burial cloths here? Why are they arranged the way they are? And then there's that whole crazy thing of Peter and the beloved disciple running to the tomb and who gets there first and who goes in first and what that means for their belief. In the Gospel of John that we hear today on Easter Sunday, it's not as clear as it is to Peter days later what went on. They are a bit confused, and they stand at that empty tomb. And in fact, the words that are used to end the gospel, for they did not yet understand that he had to rise from the dead. We know the completeness of that Easter story, but I think it's important to understand that on this Easter morning, that original Easter morning, there was confusion. There was confusion caused by a place, caused by the empty tomb. There are a lot of different ways to understand text. There are scripture texts. In a way, there is the text of our lives that we can look at and maybe find God at work in our lives. But I'd like to suggest to you today, based on the empty tomb, that there's another kind of text that we can look at. That is the text of the environment in which we live and move. If God can communicate through our lives, through other people, through Scripture, possibly he can communicate through that environment in which we live, just like the empty tomb today was the thing that caused them to begin to wonder what had happened to Jesus. Now, we don't have an empty tomb for me to go off text about, but we do have something in our immediate environment here that you may think I don't know where I'm going, but please hang with me for a while. Okay? In about 45 minutes, if you don't get it, then we can... So, as you look around on this Easter morning, particularly those of you who come to Holy Trinity regularly, you should notice that something is different. Besides all the seasonal decorations, the big difference is the windows. The windows, starting last summer, have been restored and reinstalled. We don't know exactly when the windows first went in. We think it's around 1890. In the restoration process, we had hoped to find out something about who made them or when they were made. We didn't find that out. So over this process, over this time, from the summer till now, these windows have been taken out, have been taken to New Jersey. Feminella and Associates in New Jersey is responsible for the restoration, where they're taken apart, cleaned, and put back together again. And then, most importantly, they're reinstalled, and reinstalled in a kind of interesting way. The big issue with windows like this is when you put a protective glass on the outside, condensation can form between that glass and the stained glass, and things can begin to deteriorate. So what Feminella does is a pretty neat little trick. There are gaps at the bottom of the window and at the top that you cannot see that allow the air to circulate. In effect, the windows have become chimneys where the air circulates between the stained glass and that outside, allowing the air to circulate. So the restoration of the windows has involved the cleaning of the windows and also, in a sense, the ventilation of the windows. So now you're thinking, what could this have to do with Easter? What it has to do with Easter is the fact that as we sit here today, as you look at the windows, we are probably seeing the windows as they haven't been seen for over a century. All right? They accumulated dirt and grime over that century to the point where most of us probably didn't even recognize that the windows were there. The windows, having been cleaned, now look different to us, don't they? But here's the trick. Here's the trick about Easter. They aren't different. Those are the same windows that have been there for over a century. The Jesus who rose today is not different from the Jesus who was ministering during his life. All that has happened is that something has been revealed that has always been there, but we weren't aware of it because our eyes could not see it. The windows have looked like this for a century, but because of the grime on them, we weren't aware of that. Jesus was always Lord and is God, but it was through the resurrection that this became clear. It's not a question of finding something entirely new, something that is not part of what's already there. It's about the recovery of what that original gift is, of what that thing is at the core. So this can be applied to our lives, right? We've just come through Lent, where we've looked at ourselves. We've maybe looked at the grime, like the grime on the windows, and we've wondered how we can remove that. Now, I want to assure you, we don't all have to go to New Jersey to get clean, okay? A fate worse than death, right? But what it does suggest, just like the windows, they didn't do it themselves, did they? It was a process of turning the windows over to somebody who could clean them in the appropriate way, right? And that's really what Lent is about. It's not us scrubbing ourselves. It's about us learning to turn ourselves over to the Lord so that He can make us clean as He started to in our baptisms. And please remember, we have 50 days of Easter now to allow for that process to continue. Lent is only 40 days long. Easter is 50 days long, but somehow we get fixated on Lent and not on Easter. And Easter is the time where we all go to New Jersey to get cleaned, okay? But it's not just that we're getting cleaned. It's not just that those parts of our lives that we maybe have identified that need to be scrubbed. It's also, we need some fresh air in our lives. We need that circulation to keep us from deteriorating, from the condensation to build up. So, during this coming Easter season, allow the Lord to come into your life to begin scrubbing a bit, and also to figure out ways in which to get fresh air into a life that maybe seems too absolutely closed. So that's applicable to our own lives. It's applicable on a lot of different levels, thanks to the windows letting us know about this. One that I'd like to share with you connects to Holy Trinity, but is more specifically about the Jesuits of the Maryland province. I want you to think that just about a year ago, there was that article in the New York Times about the sale of 272 enslaved people by the Jesuits of the Maryland province in 1838 to assure the financial stability of Georgetown University and other works of the Maryland province. It came up because Georgetown was renaming some buildings, and the names of those buildings had formerly been the Jesuits who were responsible for that sale. The issue has been out there for a long time, but that brought it to new light. In this past year, it has been fascinating to watch how this has developed, particularly in the way that descendants of these enslaved people have been identified and have begin to come forth in dialogue both with Georgetown and now with the Maryland province. Needless to say, these are windows that have a lot of grime on them. You cannot even begin to think that the light could ever shine through these windows again. But based on the hope that the Lord's resurrection gives us, based on the hope that things can become new, something's going to happen this Tuesday, which is very important. On April 18th, Georgetown University will host a liturgy of remembrance, contrition, and hope, during which the Society of Jesus will apologize publicly for the sins of our brother Jesuits who, in 1838, sold 272 enslaved men, women, and children. The Maryland province will make a formal, spoken apology to the descendants. It's a first step, the first step in a process that should have been done a long time ago. It's the first step to begin to address, even recognize, the grime on those windows. But like I said, it is done in the context of this day, this Easter, on which we know that the Lord can reveal that which has been covered up, that which is always there, but that which we have forgotten. And there's something else about the windows, too. We look up at the windows and see the colors in them, which haven't been seen since about a century. But the other thing is, the light comes through the windows, and then the light begins to dance on the ground. Let's see if I can position myself right. Maybe. I guess I have to lay down on the floor. But as you, and I will not do that, as you may have noticed as the windows have been put in, what also happens with stained glass windows is the light comes through and colors begin to dance where you had never expected them before. In a sense, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Allowed the light of God to come through and to illumine and to enliven our world? And isn't that the challenge that's placed before each and every one of us, to be like those windows, scrubbed and cleaned, reinstalled and ventilated, so that that light, not to attract attention to ourselves, although they are good looking, but to scatter that light around us, to scatter that light in ways that are unexpected and enlivening. That's what Jesus did at Easter. Not doing something dramatically new, but revealing what was there and allowing that to enlighten and enliven the world. Now, I don't want to sound heretical, but I don't agree with Paul on the second reading. Paul there says, think of what is above, not what is on earth. I don't quite buy this on a day like this. I would put it something like this. Let what is seen on earth draw one above. Let the light dancing on the floor, let the light coming through the window draw one beyond to that source of light. Use what is here on the earth to remind you of things greater than the earth. Because it is this day that the Lord allowed that light to come through that window and once again to dance on all of us.